So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio.
Okay, fun fact about Timory. This just came up behind the scenes. I made a joke about the song It's Raining Men. This was actually one of my favorite songs as a kid. I would full on belt out the song It's Raining Men, I mean, to every detail. Now, you should know something. I cannot sing. When I say I cannot sing, I cannot sing. And a couple years ago, we're in the car, and my brother goes, Timory, like, let's play It's Raining Men. Like, I want to hear you sing It's Raining Men. I'm like, okay, whatever. You've heard me sing it for years, but okay. Maybe you just missed my lovely singing voice. And here we are, and he insists on me singing, tells everyone else to be quiet, and he goes, you can actually sing that song, and that is the only song you can actually sing. Every other song, just no, doesn't happen. Anyways, fun fact, It's Raining Men, yes or no in your life? I don't know, but this is our marriage hour. We talk about everything from dating, relationships, and the end goal, marriage. Maybe you've been married 20 years, 50 years, 1 year, you name it. This is your hour, providing marriage wisdom. In fact, joining me in just a little bit will be the executive director of Integrity Restored, Jim O'Day. He's worked in everything from defense to homeland security, and now working with Integrity Restored, addressing the issue of pornography crisis in our culture. And we're going to be discussing from his 30 years of marriage a couple things. One, we'll be discussing five things a man should always do for his marriage. So gentlemen, listen up. Second, we're going to take your questions if you want tips for navigating your marriage. What questions do you have? What struggles are you facing? Give me a call. The number is 1-888-914-9149. We'll be taking questions as well on social media, especially on my Instagram story. So head over to relevantradio.com/trending to the contact page where you can connect, subscribe to the podcast, and let's dive in to our marriage hour. As you know, we've been in this season of focusing on the Holy Spirit. So we'll also continue our series of the Holy Spirit today, and we will be discussing how the Holy Spirit helps us live our lives. And I would especially say the Holy Spirit also helps us live our vocation, but also the vocation of marriage. But let's talk about this idea of whether or not we can hope for our spouse's behavior to change. I thought there was a fantastic article I was reading at Alatea.org, and it was by Father Michael Martin Preville, and fantastic article, but it really made me think of a couple stories of people in marriages that I've been surrounded by in my lifetime. One of them in particular, I keep thinking of the story, you know, on the topic of can our spouse change? Well, sometimes when we pray for something, God says yes, no, or not now. Now, he doesn't literally say that per se, unless you're hearing a divine voice, but that tends to be the answer that we need to come to understand. If the prayer is not answered, it could be no or not now. And part of prayer shouldn't just be asking for what we want, but prayer should also be ultimately about transformation of ourselves. And so I think that that hits kind of right at the core of this idea of transformation in our spouses or in anyone in our lives. I know this great woman who she was married at a young age, and when she got married, her and her then husband were so excited before marriage about family life, all the things they wanted to do, goals, and when they got married, long story short, he ended up experiencing, she didn't know it at the time, he experienced same-sex attraction. He was kind of bi, swung in both ways, and struggled with gambling, and had many debts, and it was a very messy situation. But being very old school, although she may have had grounds, absolutely, for an annulment, being old school, she had this approach that we honor our marital vows. And she prayed for him. She witnessed her faith to him. They did have children. And for years, they continued to live out, you know, a challenging, challenging relationship. And on his deathbed, he ended up having a deathbed conversion. He received anointing of the sick, confession, the Eucharist, all of the sacraments. all the sacraments. And his wife came in to see him after, and I remember her talking about how he said that since he was 17 years old, it was like something happened, and it was as if, you know, just the devil had completely taken over his life. And he was going in a completely different trajectory. And although he wanted good things, that wasn't the life he was living. And for the first time, he felt free and liberated from all of that. And here, this rare, rare circumstance, because it doesn't happen often. One of the great doctors of the church, St. Alphonsus Liguori, comments on this. Deathbed conversions are very rare. But here was this man who had one. And there was his wife who had been beside him, praying and interceding for him, enduring horrible interaction behavior for so many years. This is a great testament to this entire idea of, dare we hope, can we hope for our spouse's behavior to change? Well, isn't that the great challenge of marriage? That marriage doesn't say, hey, if your spouse behaves well, then you'll be married for the rest of your life. Marriage, there's no vow having to do with good behavior. It's so funny because I think good behavior or habits that we do and don't like don't often get discussed beforehand when it comes to marriage. And then suddenly you get married and, big surprise, there's a habit you don't like so much from your spouse. And it could be something as simple as maybe the way they stack the dishes in the dishwasher, how messy they are in the house. It could be simple things. Or it could be really serious circumstances and situations that are incredibly frustrating. One of the tips in this incredible article I mentioned from Alatea, and we'll post a link to it on social media now as well, is really kind of understanding kind of what bone are you going to pick? Is it really a minor thing in behavior that really hurts? Or is it something more serious that does need to be prioritized and addressed? Often, in myself being someone who's kind of type A and nitpicky, a lot of the things that we have problems with often aren't actually big deals. They're a matter of preferences. And that's one of the great challenges. Now, that said, there is this incredible story I just told you about this deathbed conversion. And this is something that can happen. But there are also those simple circumstances where we know someone and we're praying and we're hoping and we want them to change, and they start to change gradually. The prayer, the good example, and also yourself being willing to change and adapt as well makes room and intercedes for this person, also their effort on their own, to change. But the challenge is often in marriage, we almost don't believe or don't acknowledge the change that occurs in others. Sometimes we don't even like it. We tend to like to be critical and judgmental, or not believing or unforgiving because of the past difficulties we've experienced. So we continue to operate according to the same mode of operation while the other person is changing, but we won't acknowledge it. This is why we have to think about the possibility of change from a Catholic perspective. Can we hope for our spouse's behavior to change? Yes, but are we talking about simple little habits and preferences? Are we talking about actual behaviors that need to change? And if we are praying and interceding and setting an example and hoping, are we allowing the person that space to allow God and the great influence of others to work in your spouse's life? You see, believing in change is fundamental to being a Catholic. That is because Jesus died on a cross for you and I. And by his very death, he said something very important, that you can be transformed by the grace I am offering you from the cross that is efficaciously given to you through the sacraments in the church. You see, the sacraments are all about change. In fact, so much so, we have one sacrament that has to do with total physical and spiritual union with God in the Eucharist. We have another one that is a rebirth, right, in baptism. We have another one, the confirmation of the Holy Spirit within us, and a mission that we're called to send out and help other people be transformed by. We also have the sacrament of reconciliation, where the sacrament of reconciliation is all about us coming before God with our faults and making an amendment of purpose to not commit these again. And if we do, that we will confess them, that we're striving to no longer sin. Our Catholic faith is all about change. And so can we hope for our spouse's behavior to change? Can we hope for an overcoming of sin? Absolutely. But we have to put our faith in God, set a good example, and be willing to change ourselves above trying to put pressure on someone else to be the change alone. I think that's where the challenge is. And always recognize that people do change over years, new ideas and understanding of things for good and for bad. And we have to allow the change to open up the doors for that change to be for the good as well. You're listening to Trending with Tim Ray here on Relevant Radio. It's our weekly marriage hour. Coming up, we're going to be discussing how the Holy Spirit helps us to live our lives, our vocation, and live out the vocation of marriage. Joining me now here on Trending on Relevant Radio is Jim O'Day, the Executive Director of Integrity Restore. He's worked in Homeland Security, Defense. He now works with Integrity Restore, which helps men and women who have been impacted by pornography and pornography addiction, whether they themselves are struggling with it or know someone who is. You can find this incredible resource at integrityrestore.com. But today he's joining us to discuss five things a man should always do for his marriage. Now, we're taking questions from you. He has over 30 years of marriage experience, and we're giving tips for navigating your marriage. So give us a call with any marriage struggles and questions you may have. The number is 1-888-914-9149. Jim, welcome back to Trending.
Hey, Timmy. As always, it's such a pleasure.
It's so great to be with you, especially today, focusing on these five things that a man should always do for his marriage. I think so often men want a play-by-play rule book to live by, but there's not a lot of, I think, a clear Catholic perspective of how to be not just a husband, but also a Catholic husband. So what are these five things that you would recommend that every husband do for his marriage?
So the first thing is what I call be like Joe. Just be like Joe, St. Joseph. It's the year of St. Joseph. And we can learn so much about what a Catholic husband is meant to be by looking at St. Joseph. But the most important thing it teaches us is we have to put God first in our own lives personally if we are to be the husband that our wife deserves. Mm-hmm. That's number one. Be like Joe.
Be like Joe. And, you know, I think that this is so important to have this simple perspective that there is such a great humility about St. Joseph that it sets a reminder that he was incredibly humble. And I think that if we were to cut to the core of who St. Joseph was, he put God first in his life and was willing to respond to the divine calling and promptings that were placed in his life.
That's correct. So he gave us a really good model. God first, if we're looking for a spreadsheet, right? God first, then his wife, then his business. But yet the world teaches us the opposite, right? You have to put your business first. You have to be a success. You have to make more money. That's what's going to make your wife happy. Well, I don't know that that's always true. I've made a lot of money and I've lost a lot of money, and I'm still married 32 years later because I have an incredible wife who figured out that there's a way to do purgatory on earth. Stay married to Jim. Straight shot to heaven. Number two, Timmy, was be the man. Not a man. Be the man. There's so many responsibilities in a marriage and so many just little jobs around the house. And culturally, societally, we often think that, well, that's a woman's job. But I'll tell you what, guys, if you want to be a really good husband, cook, clean, do laundry. Separate that work so that you are equally yoked in all the challenges of running a household. It'll make everybody much happier. And like in my case, 32 years of marriage, I've done most of the cooking. I love it.
No way. I didn't know you were a chef.
Oh, yeah. I love it. You know, it's so funny you say that. A fantasy of mine would be to be a chef. That would be so much fun. I just love trying to cook different things and making different foods. And my wife loves it because she gets to eat.
Wouldn't you say also when you take ownership as a man of things beyond working outside of the home, and you take ownership of also being a part of the cooking, the cleaning, you know, all of the household responsibilities, that one, it's not falling on just one person's shoulder, so there's not this resentment that kicks in, but you can have fun doing it together and trying out new things like new foods, as you said.
Oh, absolutely. Trying out new foods and the conversations. And like when we're cleaning the house, my wife and I, we always have the music cranked. We're, you would die. We're, you know, in our mid-50s now, dancing around the house, cleaning and laughing and having a good time. It's not so bad, guys. And it's a great way to build intimacy with your wife. That intimacy, that shared experience, that laughter and fun while doing something that's not really considered fun. Wow, it's powerful for the relationship.
Mm-hmm. I'll never forget the first time we moved into a new rental, my husband and I, last year or so. And I said, okay, before we move everything in, we're going to clean all the floorboards. He goes, what? I've never cleaned a floorboard in my life. But he's like, okay, here we go. And there's just so much joy in like the simple experience of like, okay, we're going to clean the floorboards and we're going to talk. You know, so often couples say that they're not communicating and talking enough. Doing things such as household things together provides you the opportunity to have a shared experience that you wouldn't otherwise have, especially when there are kids and busy life and schedule, but also the opportunity to talk and discuss things.
Absolutely. And that is one of the big challenges, particularly for families with children. The marriage kind of gets relegated to the discussion of how was your day? Fine. What's up with the kids? And then the conversation's all about the kids, and it's no longer about the couple. And I think when you're cooking together, cleaning together, whatever the little tasks, folding clothes, whatever it is, that's an opportunity for a different level of communication.
Do you think this could also make communication easier for men? Men are known to like to communicate side by side rather than face to face. And this provides the opportunity to do that. What would you say in terms of how the conversations have unfolded over the years for you and your spouse? Does it seem like an easier sitting to discuss things?
Well, it does when we're doing something else, because it just feels as a man more natural to me. Right? I'm doing something, but we're having this other conversation. When we're just sitting, staring at each other and looking into each other's eyes, which is a very powerful way of communicating for a woman. For me, it's like, I'm not so sure I like that.
Uncomfortable?
A little bit, right?
Even to this day, 30 years later.
Absolutely. So I
no
would much
way.
Rather. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, this is an eye-opening. Men are men. 30 years into marriage, you still do not like to sit face-to-face, eye contact conversation.
No, I'd much rather be talking while we're doing something or messing around outside the house, gardening, whatever. It's just much more pleasant for me.
So funny. Well, you know what? Here you go, ladies. This is the tip to getting those intimate conversations. Ask them to help you with the chores. So yeah. Here's the question, I think, briefly. I know this is for men, like five things a man should always do for his marriage. But I do have to ask, for the women listening right now, what would be, if this is perhaps something that's not occurring in their home, without a judgmental way, what would be an inviting and enticing way to encourage a husband to help out in this way, more so for the sake of building these great conversations and memories?
So I just read a great article. It's so funny you say that, because there's a movement now online. I wasn't familiar with it, but through my work in Integrity Restored, somebody forwarded it to me, where women use sex points. So if the husband takes out the garbage, for example, he gets 1 point. If he does the dishes, he gets another point. And when he gets to a certain number of points, the wife will have sex with him.
Oh, that's terrible, Jim. I think that's a horrible idea. That is horrible.
That's exactly what I'm saying. I think that's a horrible idea. So,
what is he, a dog or a kindergartner getting stars on a chart?
Right. How awful is that?
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, women are looking, how do I motivate my husband to do some of these things with me? Well, invite him and say, you know what, hon? We have never cleaned the floorboards in this house. Let's clean the floorboards, and then we're going to make a really nice dinner together. We're going to have a bottle of wine, and then I'm going to light some candles and just leave it there. That is a beautiful way to plan a weekend. Hey, this is a long weekend, ladies and gentlemen. Get those floorboards cleaned.
So romantic. I love it. Okay.
But you know what? It's romantic in reality.
Okay, so we've hit two of the 5 points that you have for how men should always do, what they should always do for their marriages. What is the third one?
So the third one, and this is really important, before she is mom, she is wife. With both my kids, Kim was always my wife first, and I made sure they knew that. Yes, of course, to the children, she's always mom first, but she's always my wife first, and that means everybody has to respect my wife, even you, the children, because she is my wife.
Mm.
And so to teach that lesson to the kids, particularly, well, not only to the boys, but to the girls, when they see that in a relationship, the children, we're actually crafting their vision for their future relationships. And so for my daughter, that is, I want a husband that cherishes and respects me, and I am his wife, the love of his life first.
Mm.
And for my son, it was, this is how you treat a woman. This is how you will treat your future spouse. And so it's a great lesson for our kids, but it's also an important thing for your wife to feel that, gentlemen. They have to know that.
Yeah. And I would almost say, maybe to keep the spark of romance alive in life, that there's this acknowledgement that you haven't only become a mom, you're still a wife, you're still a spouse, you're still chosen and sought after, you're still a bride in the eyes of your husband.
Amen.
You're listening to Trending with Tim Murray here on Relevant Radio. That's Jim O'Day, the Executive Director of Integrity Restored. We're going to come right back sharing the last two tips of what every man should always do for his marriage. And we're also going to take your questions on marriage. 1-888-914-9149. Call us. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timmery on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Welcome back to our weekly Marriage Hour here on Trending. Joining me is the Executive Director of Integrity Restored. You can find them at integrityrestored.com. He has 30 years of marriage experience and helps men and women in healing from various addictions surrounding intimacy and pornography to help have healthier relationships and better marriages. We're taking your question. The number is 1-888-914-9149. Would love to hear from you and what questions you have. You can also share that question on social media, especially Instagram. Just head over to relevantradio.com/trending to connect with me on Instagram. You can find me at Timmery. That's Timmerie. Jim, we were walking through 5 things that every man should do for his marriage. The first three, I'll recap, is be like Joe, that is St. Joseph, put God first. Second, be the man of the house, take responsibility for all things, including everything from cooking, cleaning, food. It helps to build intimacy, be reliable and trustworthy and loyal in this. And third, you said to help make sure that you put your wife as always wife first and not mom, so that the sons learn, the daughters learn about the proper roles in marriage, but also so that the wife feels honored, respected, and always chosen in that marriage. What are your last two tips for five things a man should always do for his marriage?
So the next one, number four, is protect and provide. That is our job. That is our calling as men, as husbands. And, you know, I've gone through many, many ups and downs in my career, financially, recently had some health concerns. But my wife always knows that in the midst of all that, it doesn't matter, I desire to protect and provide for her, no matter what. And so I'm always going to do whatever it takes to make sure that happens. And I think that that's the really important thing that men forget. You're not always going to be successful. But as long as your wife knows you have that desire and then that that's critically important to you, she's going to feel secure.
Fantastic. And I think that's so important for women to know from their husbands as well. You're building security, reliability, trustworthiness by these five things that you're emphasizing that a man should always do for his marriage. What's the fifth one?
The fifth one is know how to bring a smile to your wife's face. So often, after years of marriage, we can kind of get into this routine, and for many couples, almost becomes a business relationship. Don't allow that to happen, gentlemen. Be the guy that still makes your wife laugh. And you know how to do it. You did it when you were wooing her, when you were courting her, when you were dating her. Well, remember that and keep doing it. And so whether it's my silly dancing around while we're cleaning or the stupid jokes that I say, or the little practical jokes that I play on her, that's what makes Kim smile and laugh. And that makes my heart sing to see that.
Fantastic. I love that. Bring joy, bring spice, bring intimacy, true intimacy, beyond just what happens in the bedroom, but what happens in the day-to-day most hours and moments of our lives. This is so important. You're listening to Trending with Tim Ray. That's Jim O'Day. He just gave five things a man should always do for his marriage. Be sure to share this podcast, listen, take notes. I want to take a couple questions here. First questions coming from Joe from Texas, having to do with an addiction. Joe, welcome to Trending. What's your question for Jim?
I have been a pornography addict for most of my life, you know. I've been trying to, you know, get rid of it over and over, but I always come back. What do you recommend me to do?
So, Joe, there's a couple things. One, I want you to go visit integrityrestored.com right away and check out our Integrity Circle coaching program. In that program, you're going to go through 26 weeks of content. There's going to be a different teaching on a topic of pornography addiction, so you're going to understand what's going on in your life, psychologically, physiologically, with the brain chemicals, spiritually. And then there's also a community there of other men like yourself who have struggled. Now, the important thing, Joe, to remember, first of all, I commend you for your bravery for calling. Thank you, brother. That is awesome. The second thing is, my friend, there is hope. I have seen thousands and thousands of men healed. Do not give up. Do not quit. You can be healed of this addiction. And when you join the Integrity Circle in the forum, you'll be able to reach out right to me, Joe. And please remind me that we spoke on Relevant Radio, and I'd love to have a conversation with you.
Praise God. That's an incredible resource. And Joe, if you can stay on the line, our call screener, Patrick, will give you that website and information again. That's integrityrestored.com if you're listening. Jim O'Day is the executive director, helping people heal from the wounds of pornography and addiction, and also helping those who have been impacted, the spouses of those who have struggled with an addiction. Check out integrityrestored.com. If you have a question for Jim O'Day, the number is 1-888-914-9149. We would love to hear from you. You can also head over to my Instagram now and ask your question on my story. You can find me at Timmerie. That's T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E. We have a question coming in from Lupita on Instagram. She said she's asking how to include and invite her husband to walk with her in their faith.
You know, when we are unequally yoked in the faith life, it's very difficult. The first thing Lupita can do, obviously, you talked about it in your earlier segment, Timmy, is pray. And we can pray for change, and we can pray for the Holy Spirit to take the blinders off his eyes or open his heart to God and to God's incredible work that he's doing in the man's life, and the man doesn't see it. The other thing you can do is try and find organizations in the parish, in the diocese, that are men's organizations, but maybe they're not spiritual. Maybe it's a group of guys that goes and plays golf, or your husband would be happy to do fish fries on Friday nights as a service thing, not even a faith thing. So find other opportunities to introduce him to Catholic men. The one thing you don't want to do is try and nag him into going to church, into growing in his faith. That never works.
You're listening to Trending with Timmerie. That's Jim O'Day, the executive director of Trending with Timmerie. Or sorry, of Integrity Restored. Jim, a couple things also responding to this question from Lupita are, I think that I've learned this over the years, and you can speak more to it, is that men really are influenced the most by other men. And so one thing that's very helpful is that make friends or spend more time with your family who subscribe, especially the husbands, to the Catholic faith and are good examples, where conversations of faith could be brought up organically, or where just the way they're witnessing and living their lives is a good example, because men are influenced by men, and the people we spend time around have an incredible influence on others in our lives.
Well, and often, Timmerie, that's exactly right, and that's why I recommended that she find groups of men in the parish or diocese that are doing things that may interest the husband, because often men have a mistaken perspective that church is for women, right? Well, my wife goes and prays, so the family's covered. And that's not true. We are called to be spiritual leaders of the house, but you know, the devil didn't have to work too hard to get guys to say, no, I'd rather stay home on Sunday and watch the football game.
Right.
So get him in touch with other men who have faith and who are on fire for the Lord, and do things that he enjoys. Mm-hmm. And he'll start to see that faith is not this stuffy thing of saying repetitive rosaries, but that Jesus really exists and is active and alive. And you'd be amazed at how men's faith just blossoms at that point.
Praise God. These are great tips for helping your marriage. You're joining Trending during our weekly marriage hour. We have a question coming in from Kay on Instagram, and she says, how can she work on keeping intimacy within the marriage, especially that year postpartum right after childbirth? And she put hashtag tired mom.
Exactly. So the first thing to do there is to be honest with your husband. It's really important, because you're exhausted. And some nights, I'm sure, the sex is the last thing on your mind. But tell him, honey, it's not you. I still find you incredibly attractive. And I'm still totally wanting to have this with you. I'm just too tired right now. That's important because you don't want the man to feel something's changed in your perspective towards him. That's number one. Number two is intimacy doesn't happen in the bedroom at night. True intimacy happens during breakfast. It's all about communication. It's many people have said it. I copy it all the time. Into me see. Sharing that part of yourself with only that one other person. And so that is really
time
important.
Together.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you gave a great example of that, recommending that husbands spend more time engaging in the household responsibilities together with your wife because it provides opportunities of spent time, memories, and conversation.
One thing I tell all the couples here at Integrity Restored that we're helping is to do the high and low conversation every day for 15 minutes where you just share with each other what was your high point of the day and what was your low point of the day. And over time, over months, over years, boy, you really get to learn a lot about each other. You're not trying to solve the problem at that moment. You may not even have a lengthy discussion about it, but you've shared that. And that is intimacy.
Amen. And I just another comment, especially during that first year after having a baby and postpartum and wondering how intimacy can be lived out and what to do and communicate with your spouse over that. One, it's important that as women, we're communicating that our bodies are still healing after childbirth. You know, the whole idea of 6 weeks postpartum, that's not true. It can take a year. It can take a long time for a woman's body to heal. And every woman's body is different. And so helping your spouse to understand physically where you're at in the healing process is important, I think, for helping to break that barrier of confusion or surrounding intimacy. And again, emphasizing that intimacy isn't just what happens in the bedroom. But then also, for men, if they're struggling during this time, this is why, and Jim, you can speak to this, exercise is so important for being chaste in your marriage as well.
Absolutely. And if you are struggling with this, guys, I get it. I understand. I've been there. But you know what? 15 minutes of active distraction is going to take away that temptation to self-pleasure that many of us in that situation would have. 15 minutes is all it takes. So get down and do some push-ups. Go for a walk. Change your physical location. Read a book. There's so many things we can do. And 15 minutes later, our brain is totally engaged with something else and we can move on. That temptation doesn't have to control us. The other thing is, guys, your wife is exhausted. There's a way to be intimate with her non-sexually. Why don't you just give her a massage that's all about her? Nothing for you. That's love. Rub her feet. She is tired. She's been taking care of a new baby all day. And if she's anything like my wife said it when we first brought my daughter home. She said, "Are these people crazy letting me take this baby home? I don't know what to do." There's fear, there's anxiety, there's stress, there's just pure exhaustion. And to your point, Timmery, and your body is healing. Mm-hmm. So guys, do something nice for your wife. Rub her feet, give her a massage. Let her lay down and scratch her head. Make dinner, cook, do the laundry. These are all easy things, guys, but they're so valuable.
That's Jim O'Day, the Executive Director of Integrity Restored. Okay, we're going to do a fast round here, Jim. We'll take turns, and you can pull from maybe even what you guess your wife would say to this question. John from Brookfield, Wisconsin asks, Well, what about the women? What are the five most important things a woman must do to improve marriage? Now, if you listen to Trending, you know we touch a lot on the expectations and challenges that women face in being wives. But so we're not just focusing on the men only during our regular marriage hour, but this will be a fun time. Let's take turns. Why don't you go first? What would you think be the first one that your wife would say for an important marriage?
Respect.
Respect.
She would say, I have to respect my husband, and I have respected him for 32 years, and that has helped our marriage. And there's no question.
Okay, number two I would throw out there, and it's the great challenge that the church has for us. Ephesians chapter 5, wives, be submissive to your husband. Pray and ponder what this means and how it could be a challenge in your life. Remember, submission means under the same mission as your husband. How do you get on the same mission? This is the great challenge. We have just a minute here. Number three, what would be your tip to women that would be the best thing for their marriage?
Communicate about the uncomfortable things. So often women are non-confrontational, that these minor irritants can blow out of control. Communicate about the uncomfortable things.
Okay, number four, I would encourage you, spend time doing something you love together, even if it's as simple as a board game, going out for a walk, like one thing once a week that you're trying to do and you're making an intention to have fun, because life can get tiring as a married couple. Last thing, number five, what would you recommend that women can do to improve their marriages?
Know exactly what to give him. What is the thing that he responds to? Okay, so for some guys, that may be a new golf club. Really makes him nuts. Great. Figure out a way to get him a new golf club. For other guys, it might be, hey, I made you this beautiful dinner, and now we're going to sit on the couch and watch popcorn, and, you know, here's your favorite James Bond movie. Whatever it is, do those little things as often as you can, just to show how important he is to you.
Hey, maybe it's WrestleMania tickets. I don't know what that is, but it's important to be thoughtful in marriage. That's Jim O'Day, the executive director of Integrity Restored. Head over to integrityrestored.com. We'll post links in the show notes at relevantradio.com/trending, where you can share this episode with a buddy, with your husband. It's our marriage hour. We'll be right back here on Trending.
Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Welcome back to our weekly Marriage Hour here on Trending. We're continuing our series focused on the Holy Spirit and his incredible action in our lives. As I've mentioned before, if you've been with us all week, and if you haven't, head over to relevantradio.com/trending, starting with our show on Monday, talking about how the Holy Spirit is fundamental to helping us live happier lives. But here's the deal. Our church has this ancient tradition of the octave of Pentecost, the season of 8 days where each day is that feast day of Pentecost, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our lives and the birth of the church. So many of us have lost this great tradition in the church. It's not celebrated in the same way, but we can keep the Holy Spirit alive in our lives and not just reduce the Holy Spirit to the image of a dove in a beautiful piece of Catholic artwork. In fact, tomorrow we'll discuss why the Holy Spirit is depicted as a dove and whether or not this is good or bad for helping us understand God the Holy Spirit. I think we forget that the Holy Spirit is God. We focus on Jesus being God and God the Father being God. But when we talk about the Holy Spirit, even when we read various songs that are written for Mass, sometimes it doesn't over-clarify that the Holy Spirit is Lord. The Holy Spirit is God. That is so important for us to remember. So I want to talk now about how the Holy Spirit helps us live our lives and our vocation in particular. I don't know if you know this, but before Christians were referred to as Christians, What people would refer to them as, themselves as, in the early church was followers of the way. Followers of the way. Now, this is something we see, for example, in the Acts of the Apostles. And they understood that they were living in the way of Christ. They were followers of the way that Jesus Christ taught to the apostles, to the disciples, and then was passed on by the apostles and disciples to those who came to convert to Christianity, what would be known as Christianity. They were followers of the way, because in the early church, there really wasn't this massive distinction between Judaism and Christianity, because Christianity is the fulfillment of Judaism. And either the Jews understood that and continued on with their faith in the new covenant of Jesus Christ, recognizing that he has fulfilled all of the expectations of the Jews, or they didn't. And so if you were a follower of Christ, you were a follower of the way. Now, something that has been so mind-blowing for me to really understand is that in the early church, they understood Pentecost. They understood that the church's birth was at Pentecost, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And you know what they did? They were sent out. They went, they preached the gospel far and near, whether they were married, whether they were single, whether they were elderly, whether they were children, they preached even in the face of persecution. They were followers of the way. We see this, for example, in the marriage of Priscilla and Aquila, who we hear about in Acts of the Apostles. We see this in the life of St. Paul. I mean, just reading for a moment, even pondering Acts of the Apostles chapter 19. From the very beginning, we hear that while in Corinth, Paul passes through while Apollos was also in Corinth. And as he's there, and they came to the country of Ephesus, that right away, the first thing St. Paul does is he says to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said to him, "No, we've never even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" You see, St. Paul understood that we can't have our Catholic faith, we can't be a follower of the way, without God the Holy Spirit. What faith are you living if you're not living a Trinitarian faith? You may say in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, but do you understand that in the Epiclesis is that moment in the Mass, and there's a moment of this in every single one of the sacraments, where the Spirit is being called down to help in the great gift of bestowing the gifts of the sacrament. In that moment, for example, the Epiclesis is that moment in the Transfiguration when the Holy Spirit is called down upon the accidents of bread and wine in the Transfiguration. The Holy Spirit is God acting in time and space in our lives. Just as Jesus Christ walked and stood and talked, he spoke, he ate. He was incarnate, but the Holy Spirit is present in our lives as well. And he is there ready to help us live out our Christian witness. Maybe this is why we have such a hard time of living our Christian witness in life. Maybe this is why we have a difficult time in being evangelizers, witnesses to others. Maybe this is why we are so afraid to preach, because we aren't actually believing in the Holy Spirit. We're just saying the words, but we don't ponder in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Have we received the Holy Spirit? This is a good moment. If you haven't been confirmed, if you haven't received one of the three sacraments of initiation, of reconciliation, communion, anointing of the sick, and reconciliation is another one of those, but in confirmation, it's a very, very important that you receive the great gifts and graces of confirmation. Do you know if you've been confirmed? If you haven't, contact your church. Go through the program. Receive the sacrament, the graces, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and the fruits of the Holy Spirit in confirmation. This is one of the fundamental sacraments of the church that the church is waiting to give to you. And there are many people today who were not confirmed because perhaps their family fell away from the church during those high school years, since the church has moved confirmation to a little later in life. But confirmation is so important to have the life and spirit of God within us. In reading just a little bit more, if you were to look at the story of the Acts of the Apostles, this is your homework. Take out your Bibles. I know we're Catholic, but it's important. Take out your Bibles tonight. Read page through within the New Testament, Acts of the Apostles. It's after the first four Gospels. It's the fifth book of the New Testament. Chapter 19. Read chapter 19. It's full of the Holy Spirit. Understanding the way is the life that the Christians lived. Understanding that the Holy Spirit was fundamental to being a Christian. And understand that even in watching St. Paul as he travels here and there, and he's about to pass through Macedonia, it says in the Acts of the Apostles that now after these events, Paul resolved in the Spirit to pass through Macedonia. So he didn't just decide on his own. He had one of the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, counsel, that led him to travel to Macedonia to preach Jesus Christ, to preach him as the fulfillment of all of what Judaism has been searching for, and even of the fulfillment of all the intellectual quandarings that the Greeks had had. This is so important for us to understand that we do everything through within the Holy Spirit. This is what the early church did, and this is what all the saints have done before us. So don't forget that the Holy Spirit is God, just as God the Father, and just as Jesus Christ. Join me tomorrow on Trending. Ask a Priest Anything here on the show.